Hey, what's going on, guys? Justin here. We're going to get to the podcast in just a second. First, I want to give a shout out to our sponsors for this week, Indochino, Harry's, as well as Roman. If you listen to the last podcast, you know Indochino is the ones that are responsible for RJ Barrett looking as good as he did on draft night. But you don't have to be an NBA player to look great, and that's why Indochino is here for you. Indochino is the world's largest made-to-measure menswear brand. They make suits, shirts, coats, and more, and everything is made to your exact measurements for a great fit. Plus, you get to personalize all the details, including your lapel, lining, and your own monogram. RJ Barrett's brand new collection with Indochino just dropped, featuring limited edition fabrics and jacket linings RJ helped pick out and design. Indochino's process is simple. You choose your fabric, pick your customizations, and submit your measurements. Your package will be delivered straight to your door in 2 weeks. You can get measured and design your suit at your nearest Indochino showroom or do it all yourself online at Indochino.com. If you're a brick-and-mortar guy, you can go brick-and-mortar or do it online. Personally, I like to do everything online. Right now, you can get $30 off your total purchase of $3.99 or more at Indochino.com when entering Blue Wire at checkout. Plus, shipping is free. That's Indochino.com. Promo code BLUEWIRE for $30 off your total purchase of $3.99 or more. An incredible deal for made-to-measure clothing. You really have no excuse anymore to wear clothing that doesn't fit. And now, to the podcast.
Blue Wire.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup! Oh, blocked by James! It's over! It's over! Cleveland is a city of champions once again.
The Cleveland Cavaliers select Colin Sexton, Darius Garland.
Here comes Sexton. Some rhythm.
And he got it. Young Ball continues to wear him out.
Welcome to the Chase Down Podcast, part of the Blue Wire Network. I'm your host, Justin Roan. The Cleveland Cavaliers come up just short against the Philadelphia 76ers, almost pull off the upset on the road. And this, keep in mind, this is the best version of Philly that you could possibly see against the Cavs team. Al Horford was sitting out. That means he was giving the team a chance to win against Tristan Thompson. We couldn't pull it out. We get another chance in a couple of games. But to break down that and a whole lot more is my co-host, Carter Rodriguez. Carter, how's it going, buddy?
Well, I said you'd have to peel me off the floor if the Cavs won this one. So luckily for myself, you know, I'm here. I'm present.
Mm-hmm. You aren't like so many of the Cavs and still stuck to the floor after diving for a billion loose balls. That was a sloppy, sloppy game. And in Sexland, we do not discriminate against sloppiness. But that was
Of course not.
It was a tough one. It was a real tough one. Philly's a really, really bad matchup for this Cavs team. And considering they did not bring their A game, I was pretty impressed with this output.
Yeah, I mean, it was really an interesting game because on one hand, Philly played so bad. I mean, Tobias Harris was 0 for 10 from 3 at one point. And, you know, the Cavs gave them plenty of opportunities to run away with it. But, you know, I think it's just important to note that this is the kind of team that, you know, last year wasn't able to keep it close even when the opposition was giving it to them. You know, right. I know that this is such – maybe this is a bailout for them to say that, but, you know, this is a team that just was not competitive last year in just about any circumstance for most of the year. So the fact that they kept it so close – and really should have won this game, if we're being 100% honest.
By
the end of the fourth.
I think you can somewhat credit the vaunted Cleveland Cavaliers defense. As we all know, it is at the mountaintop there. It's a weird game for Tobias Harris, because the thing with Tobias Harris is if you need 12 points, he's going to give you 17. If you need 25 points, he's going to give you 17. Like, that's just the guy that he is. And for him to have this bad of a game, that was a little bit jarring. Kevin Love, at one point in the fourth quarter, I just kind of looked at the box score for the first time all night. Because, you know, stats, all this advanced stats like points and rebounds, I don't really dive into that during the game. But I was stunned that he was at 20 points at that point, because it did not feel like he was very engaged in this game. Early on, he was. Then he took a charge, and it seemed like everything kind of turned from him the rest of the night.
Yeah, I mean, Love's stat line for a stretch looked like he was playing really well. I thought defensively he was pretty awful, pretty not there. I mean, teammates were openly getting frustrated with him as he just didn't close out on guys. Mm-hmm. This is not a Kevin Love game. I think if you're looking at the reason the Cavs were competitive in this game as long as they were, you can look pretty squarely at Tristan Thompson. You can look pretty squarely at Colin Sexton. And you can look pretty squarely at Jordan Clarkson, who, by the way, I saw a lot of heat for Jordan Clarkson today. Like, oh, I'm just so sick of it. And I'm like, why? This is
Yeah, you good. Know what? It's put a name Clarkson. To it. Put a name to it, Carter. Don't be a coward. We need to do one of our favorite segments, which is calling out Mort. I don't know what our guy Ryan Morton has against Jordan Clarkson. Look around the league. When you have these microwave guys off the bench, they're hit or miss. And Clarkson, we've talked about this before. He was a pleasant surprise last season. I think he was better than people give him credit for. And for the most part, he is what he is. Like, he came out there, he had a good game. In nights where he doesn't have it going, he hasn't necessarily dribbled the air out of the ball. The issue with the second unit has been defense more than anything. I mean, they were a little hit and miss this game. They had a great stretch in the fourth quarter. Larry Nance had a great stretch in the fourth quarter. And then he had kind of one of his signature defensive laps in allowing that late basket to Joel Embiid.
Yeah, I mean, it was not a banner game for Nance. And in a lot of ways, this kind of represents the worst for him. You know, we talked about how his last game of the Knicks against the Knicks was kind of the game you want out of him. This is kind of the opposite. I mean, he got a few steals, which was nice, but he is not really built to battle with Embiid and kind of has to revert to kind of wildly swiping at the ball as he right. kind of loses position as he does that. So, I mean, you look at that final play, it was, he just couldn't keep Embiid sealed off and they got a wide open dunk as a result of it.
Which feeds into what we've said a million times this year. He should not be guarding centers. And yes, it was a switch. I actually didn't really love Bayline taking out Kevin Love at that point.
I actually want to talk about that. Can I steamroll you for a second?
Go off.
So it was a huge mistake to take Kevin Love off the floor on that possession. Not because Love is so great defensively. And in fact, even though we have been plenty critical of Larry Nance defensively, I still think he's a little bit better than Love just in terms of being a little switchier, a little more mobile. I mean, it's debatable. Yeah. But with
depends
that said,
on the situation. Yeah.
The biggest reason you don't freaking do that is because they had Furkan Korkmaz on offense on that play. They have to call timeout to get Love back onto the floor, and they are able to put Ennis onto the floor defensively and replace Korkmaz, knocking out any weak links that defense had. Now, in fairness, they got a great look at the end. I mean, Simmons played super undisciplined. Love very smartly slipped the screen instead of actually setting it for Clarkson. But that's why you don't do that offense for defense swap, because now you're forced to call that timeout to end the game.
Right. No, I completely agree. And I just think Love would have been a little bit better in that situation. I think he's able to hold his own in the post better than Nance is able to. So, I mean, at the end of the day, we're talking about small decisions and a little play here or there determining the outcome against Philadelphia in Philadelphia, which when you contrast that to where we were mid-November last season, like you and I, to pull back the curtain, we were looking for, okay, what are ways that we can keep this podcast interesting for the rest of the year? Sexton looked like a complete project at that point. Kevin Love was already out until February. Tristan Thompson had been hurt. This is a really, really different situation than it was last season. And you even have people that have absolutely no affiliation with the Cavs talking about, hey, this looks like a very well-coached team. They're competent. They're fun to watch. And that's just not our Stockholm syndrome. It's people outside of our bubble, which I think is really, really encouraging.
Yeah, it was. And really, if you're looking at a team built to bother this Cavs team, it should be the Sixers. I mean,
100%.
Ben Simmons basically ruined Darius Garland's life whenever he was on him, because Garland just isn't able to pull from three yet. He just is not comfortable doing it. He went 0 of 2 from 3 again tonight. So he's not able to pull defenders, you know, 25, 30 feet from the basket. And as a result, he just was not – he got very few clean looks tonight. Sexton playing shooting guard, it's just not really the look for him that you really would like. Again, you know, with all this length, they're just huge at every single position. I mean, even with Horford out, they started Simmons, Richardson, Korkmaz, Harris, and Embiid, which are all 6'6 or taller pretty much.
Yeah, so, they got the length. They got the length. Like, and it's funny because we're so used to Horford, who, as you mentioned, didn't play tonight. But we're used to him being on teams that are a great matchup for the Cavs. And he, when he comes in, all jokes aside, like, this is just such a damn massive team. And maybe the Cavs are able to equalize some of that just because they don't have that outside shooting. But they're just so disruptive. They force you. They know your tendencies. They poke the ball loose. They have really active hands. They get a lot of deflections. This is a really, really goddamn good team, especially on the defensive end. And, yeah, this felt like a really encouraging game. One thing I will note, I'd like to see Jetty get a little more involved. We saw some of this towards the end of last season when the team was getting a little bit healthier, that there were nights where he would make a difference, and I don't think he necessarily was ever negative in this game, but he wasn't involved. There was a little bit too much ball watching, and especially against a good defense, him being active off ball and getting into those passing lanes can help open things up. It can disrupt the defense. It can get guys out of rebounding position and open up opportunities for Kevin Love and Tristan Thompson. I just like to see a little bit more out of them, and I'd like to see that be a point of emphasis for Bayline in the next few games.
Yeah, I would agree. I think you're right that Jetty is better than a guy who shoots 5 times in 32 minutes, 4 points, only 1 3-point attempt. And he kind of – the size kind of helps there as an attacker. Like, you just can generate a little bit easier angles against this huge Philly defense. So I think that's fair. Ultimately, I didn't have a ton of gripes with how they played offense in this game, though. You know, Tristan continues to be so much better on offense than you'd expect. the worst offensive possession in Cavaliers history.
I was about to say that derails, that dethrones. I think that dethrones JR. I know it won't because of the stage, but that it was crazier than JR, and that was crazier than Ricky Davis getting his own rebound. Like, I that is now. I wasn't even mad at that point. I was like, you know what? That might have been us kind of blowing an opportunity there. But at the same time, that is one hell of a way to blow a possession.
A true, you know, game was moving a little too fast moment to the point where he thought he had 4 less seconds on the shot clock than he did.
I tweeted this out, but Darius Garland with Tristan Thompson's confidence from 3 would just it would take over the league. That's where we've come to. What a weird season. What a delightfully weird season.
Yeah, I mean, but in fairness to Tristan, that play is going to, you know, cover up what was an amazing game for him, truly. I mean, he kind of got bogged down late as the pressure got cranked up. I mean, there was the one play where he got blocked by Embiid where he had Simmons beat in the post. Mm-hmm. Had just did one too many pivots and you know, title of his sex tape, as you so poignantly pointed out on Twitter. But, you know, he's generating really good looks for this team. He's extending possessions on the offensive boards when the Cavs aren't able to get good shots. You know who else looked good again tonight? And
who's that?
And this is a classic. You only know if you watch the whole game. But KPJ played really, really well in this game,
in my opinion. There's so much to like there. He's still a ways away, but there really is so much to like there. He's a damn tough player. Like that guy knows where to be, and it's a real joy watching him learn the game. Like, you can actually actively see him learn the game, which is really, really cool.
Yeah, I just like the way he plays on offense. I mean, he's still just terrified to shoot, and rightfully so. But, you know, he just knows how to seek an advantage and create space. You know, a couple times he over-penetrated, but not to an absolutely terrible degree. I just like watching him when he's out there. I think the jumper is really hurting that second unit, the fact that he can't capitalize on that wide open space that
we need our boy Windy out there. I think that would help.
Windler really takes this second unit up a notch. You know, especially if Nance can hit a few threes while he's out there, because that's really what the second unit is missing offensively. Now, defensively, I don't really know how they survive, but you know, they only played 9 guys tonight in this game. And I really do think this is the kind of team that can play 10. So
I got like the jitters. Like I still got the excitement from that game. I can only imagine how much better it would have been if that Kevin Love shot went in.
Oh my God. And it was such a good look. But I knew he wasn't making it. It just came off his hands bad.
There's nothing worse than when you get all worked up and it just comes up short. And as men, sometimes that happens for us. And talking about erectile dysfunction, it just isn't easy. Usually no, we brush it off.
Not for most people. For you, it seems to be just smooth as butter.
Exactly. We usually just brush it off, blame ourselves, saying things like, I lost my mojo, or we avoid it altogether, like, I had a long day at work. Sorry, honey, I'm just not feeling it. But with Roman, it's easy to talk about it. With a real doctor who can prescribe real medication, it's simple, safe, and totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. The doctor will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to roman.com/bluewire and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Just go to getroman.com/bluewire to get a free online visit and free 2-day shipping. That's getroman.com/bluewire for a free visit to get started. getroman.com/bluewire.
Well, Justin, you know, erectile dysfunction, that's been a problem for a really, really long time.
And it's plagued me for years.
And another problem that men have had for some time is finding that perfect shave. You know, humans have been shaving for thousands of years, and the secret to a great shave, it still hasn't changed much. The ancient Greeks didn't need flex balls or heated handles, which that can't be real, but neither do you. That's why Harry's doesn't overcharge you to add gimmicky features to their razors. They focus on delivering what actually matters: sharp, durable blades at a fair price. You know, I love shaving with Harry's, even though, as I noted in the last spot, I lost my travel cover, which is just absolutely crushing, but I still love using their product. And it's because it's a return to the essential: quality, durable blades at a fair price, just $2 a blade. They've cut out the middleman, manufacturing blades in their German blade factory that's been honing precision blades for a century, which means you get incredibly high quality blades at factory direct prices. Harry's is super convenient. Blade refills are delivered directly to your door on your schedule with or without a subscription. And there's no risk to you for trying them out. If you don't love your shave, just let them know. They'll give you a full refund. You don't have to send it back or anything. They just give you your money back. Listeners of our show can redeem their Harry's trial set at harrys.com/bluewire. You'll get a weighted ergonomic handle for a firm grip, a 5-blade razor with lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel with aloe to keep your skin hydrated, and of course, it's hard for me to say it, a travel blade cover to keep your razor dry.
Yeah, you gotta get the cover. You gotta get a new cover, Carter.
Hi, Harry's, please, if you're listening, I have erred. Please send me a new travel cover. I'll pay. I don't care. Go to harrys.com/bluewire to start shaving better today.
If only you could go to get over to harrys.com/bluewire and order some yourself. Like, why are you begging for it if you're saying I'm willing to pay? And I mean, Harry's,
I just don't feel like there's no way they sell those on their own, right?
I mean, use like Kylie's name, use her, create an account, get another trial set, support the podcast. Come on.
You know what? This is probably the play.
I feel like that's the play, man.
Well, thanks. It was a good idea. I'm not a smart man.
Well, you know what? There's shot creators and there's shot finishers, and I set you up. Now you just got to bring it home. What's kind of your impressions of this Philadelphia team now that we've got to see them up close? We didn't necessarily, I don't think we got to talk about this, but I had picked them as my finals team, and it's interesting. So injuries have obviously been one of the biggest things this season. Just every single team seems to be plagued with it other than the Cavs somehow. But Toronto looks good. Boston looks better than expected. Philly is still kind of figuring things out, but considering how much turnover they've had, they've been fairly impressive in my opinion early. Where are you at with Philly?
You know, I also picked them to win to make the finals, not to win it. Because I just think that I really learned a lot about that team in the postseason last year. I know Jimmy Butler was a big part of what made their offense run, but I think ultimately my biggest takeaway was what a fucking pain it seemed like to play them. I mean, every possession was just a slog. And I think teams that dictate to their opponents how the game is going to go tend to do well in the postseason. And I think that was my biggest takeaway from that team was just like, everyone, no matter who you were, you had to play their style.
Right.
And I thought that was a really, really encouraging thing.
And I think that's more the case this season. Like, I picked them to win the title. I don't feel great about it. But I feel like if they can get there, they can win it, because I feel like that length is just such a damn problem for everybody. Like, we talked about Kevin Love not really being engaged in this game, but at the same time, they just have so many bodies that they can throw at him, different looks that they can give him defensively. And I think it's the same thing that they can do to guys like Jokic or to Anthony Davis, like who has historically struggled against Joel Embiid. Like, they just have so many different looks, and they're able to dictate the terms of engagement, as you said. And to me, that is just so important when the game becomes all about matchups.
Yeah, and I just think the shooting is going to be a problem, but it's just so variable. You know, like Tobias Harris can shoot. Richardson can shoot. Yeah. I love that Korkmaz is actually in the rotation finally, because I think he was someone who needed to play for them.
I'm still mad. I'm still mad that
we weren't able to steal him.
Yeah, we really
should have. We have Wendler now. It's fine.
We should have tried to get him for Korver. I feel like that's something that we could have done. I
don't know. The reality is, though, that this is a team that needed Korkmaz, not because he's such a good player, but because he gives them a little lineup versatility. You know, like, so many of their lineups play the exact same way, and I think Korkmaz kind of helps them unlock that a little bit. And by the way, my God, Matisse Thybulle defensively. He had 5 steals and blocks combined in 13 minutes tonight.
So there's a sneaky thing going on with him. I don't know how much Philly you've watched in other games, but he allows a little bit of penetration on the perimeter. I think guys are kind of able to get by him, but that dude makes up so much goddamn ground, and
he's Kirilenko-esque in that way.
Right. It's almost like he's baiting them to go by him. I mean,
he did that to Clarkson like 3 times tonight.
Yeah. The only guy that had great success against him was Darius Garland, who just absolutely put him into a blender, which was, oh my God.
That was good for me. I needed that.
Yeah. That's, I just need one of those a game, and then I can have my post-game cigarette, and then I'll feel pretty good about it. And if that doesn't do it for me, then I'm just going to call it Get Roman. But but Garland did it for me tonight, so that was really pleasant. But yeah, Thybulle, my God, he is a hell of a pickup for them. And I think once he figures things out, and he stops kind of allowing that penetration on the perimeter and works on his footwork just a little bit more and is able to really maximize those natural gifts, that is a guy that's just going to terrorize the league.
Yeah, I mean, he really, really should be a rotation player for them for the next 5 years. And I don't think he's as behind offensively as people might think.
He's not Roberson. Like, he's already better offensively than Roberson. And he's got better size, too.
Yeah, I mean, he's... Roberson's huge. Roberson's like 6'8".
No.
He's at least 6'7". I think you're confusing him with...
I think Roberson's sitting out so we don't look into his
Roberson,
actual height.
Okay, let's...
No, you talk. You're the one that's spreading lies.
He's 6'7".
Correct. Okay.
All right, you're right. He's 6'7". But, I mean, Matisse Thybulle's like 6'5", so shut up. I still win.
I refuse to believe that.
I still win. I just didn't win as big as I thought I was going to win. Okay. But ultimately, yeah, I think he's a player, man. And, like... You don't get that many bench guys that make you notice them quite like he makes you notice him. And I think that ultimately hitting on him is going to help cover for some pretty big misses, to be honest. I mean, in Fultz, Zaire Smith is out playing in their G League team.
Mm-hmm.
Guys who you were hoping to get something from, it's not as painful if Thybulle is a hit.
Yeah, I appreciate you not mentioning Shamet, because as much as that hurts, I do think Tobias Harris is a good player. I mean,
they overpaid, and I think if I've got a problem with Tobias Harris, is that I think he gets a tight butthole when games matter.
No. Yeah, there's a lot of lemon booty there for sure. I still think that that's the guy they moved this season to try to get them over the top. Like, if they could get like a Kyle Lowry type or Drew Holiday type, someone in that mold.
They just paid him so much. I don't think anyone's going to want to pay that deal.
Well, I mean, if Toronto's finally honest with themselves and admit that they're never going to get a free agent, then maybe.
He wouldn't be the not free agent I chase, to be honest.
No. The Tobias Harris Siakam, I'm starting a movement here. I just don't want them to get Giannis.
Well, here's hoping that they don't.
Well, I mean, look how well they're playing without Kyle Lowry. I think it's time for them to move on. That's what I say.
Your aggressive disdain for Kyle Lowry is really, and Cavs Twitter in general. I never all the way got that. I was always on it's either. It's funny that he's not.
I'll pull it out.
What?
I will pull out the Kyle Lowry jersey that is in my closet that he ruined. I have a Kyle Lowry number 3 Toronto jersey that he signed, but he messed up the pen and ruined the signature and messed up my jersey. He like splotched it on a bunch of different places. It's awful. And that's where this all really comes back to.
Proud of you, buddy.
No, here's my problem with Kyle Lowry. Here's my problem with Kyle Lowry. It is, once again, it has nothing to do with the player. It's how people talk about him. And shout out to Raptors Twitter for just driving me to this point. The guy quit in the middle of a playoff series because he wanted to protect his contract, a contract that he didn't get from the Spurs because they realized he quit in the playoff series to protect his contract. They trade for Kawhi Leonard, and he spends the first 3 months pouting his ass off, crying like a baby because he doesn't have DeMar DeRozan. And then Masai tries to trade him desperately, can't trade him. So he's stuck there after the deadline saying, hey, do you think you could at least kind of buy in? And then they win the title. And then this summer he says, hey, either extend me or I'm going to hold out and demand a trade. Like, this is not some feel-good story. The dude's a dick. He's a good basketball player. But the fact that they treat him, it's basically like if we were in denial about what Kyrie was. And I know I'm throwing stones from my glass house. Yeah, I am aware of that.
You were in denial for years. Up through last year, you were still in denial.
Yeah, you're making things up. Unless you can pull up the audio clips, I don't believe you. But anyways, it's Raptors Twitter's fault.
That's fair.
You got me on a tangent here. Don't put me on tangents.
Well, that's kind of where we live.
that is our wheelhouse.
We're kind of in tangent town, for better or worse.
God bless podcasts for letting us be self-indulgent.
Yes, sir. Hopefully not too self-indulgent. Yeah, but ultimately, I just haven't seen enough from the rest of the league from the rest of the East that like scares me off the Sixers pick to make the finals. Like, yeah, the Celtics are 8-1. I'll believe it when I fucking see it.
Right.
In the playoffs. I don't think that team is what people would like it to be. I mean,
Jaylen Brown looks great so far, but he's also played 6 games.
Yeah. Like, I mean, they've only played 9 games, but.
Well, no, but he's only played 6. Like, that was the thing. Someone was tweeting the other night. They're like, oh, the Jaylen Brown haters are very quiet now. I'm like, he's played 3.5 good games. Yeah. I think it was 3.25 because he'd only play a quarter that game. Like, he's been very, very good, but I think there's still some real concerns there. His lone good shooting season from 3 kind of looks like the Jay Crowder year. Jason Tatum has a very nice all-around game, but he's not the world beater offensively that people have kind of hoped for him to be.
Yeah, he's not like a jack of all trades. He's like a 9 of all trades.
Right, right. No, he's like Jetty.
Just like Jetty.
Yeah, yeah. I don't see a difference. That's what it really comes down to. No, they're good. But here's the thing. They are good in the way we know a Brad Stevens team is going to be good. They have no stars, and they're playing well, and they're overachieving, and they are just out there hustling and making the right plays. And shout out to our guy, Alex Kungu, who is tweeting in his game notes. He's like, I'm writing down things like, really hustled there, didn't give up on the play. And he's like, I have to accept that this is just kind of the norm again. And yeah, that's what happens when you're trying to make up the talent gap and you have a coach that's good at coaching guys that I don't want to say they're not talented. I know that would be what I would tweet, but they're not star caliber.
Yeah, Ewok's kick in the chat just said that he thinks the Pacers are a dark horse to win the East. And you know, it's funny, they've been a try-hard team for so long that I think it's going to be really hard for me to change my perception of that. But yeah, the fact that they're 7-4, outscoring teams by 5.5 points a game with Oladipo not playing yet, it's a good indicator. And Brogdon is playing pretty freaking insane. And
I was about to say, unlike the Bucks, they actually have a point guard. So yeah,
Brogdon's got 21-9, you know, which is insane numbers that I never thought Malcolm Brogdon would be a guy averaging 9 assists a game. That just was not the kind of style that I thought he was capable of. And then you got Sabonis putting up 20 and 13, and TJ Warren. It's really interesting. I wasn't as, you know, everyone was having a lot of fun dunking on Phoenix for that trade, which was objectively stupid, but I kind of hesitated to be too worried about it. Cause I was like, I always kind of just thought of TJ Warren as, not to be a dick, but like a loser player. You know, like, yeah, he puts up empty numbers and nobody cares.
Here's the thing.
That hasn't been the case.
Here's the thing. And this is a case where I want to say a statement and everybody's perception is on opposite ends of the spectrum, where reality is in the middle. He's Kyle Kuzma without social media savvy.
Oh, wow. I like this. Did you make that up all by yourself?
I don't know, man.
That sounded patronizing, but I actually meant it.
I'm an aggregator to my core. So I'm also a bad listener. So it could be one of those things where I heard it. Someone was talking to me directly and I was just off in La La Land, and that just resonated for some reason. But I feel like that's what he is. Like, he's a guy that can go out there. He can get you buckets. There's some nights where he's going to make an impact, some nights where he's not. But on a team like Indiana, especially where they do have so many good defenders, he can slot in there very, very seamlessly. He can work in a lot of lineups and give them something they've needed.
Now, yeah, I do think he doesn't really fit that well with that starting lineup once Oladipo comes back, because he gets to shoot. He gets to handle the ball a lot on this team. He's averaging, I think, 15 shots a game right now. Yeah, 15.4 field goals a game. Only taking 2.6 threes, only making 0.07 of them, or 0.7 of them. So he's not as capable of an off-ball player as you'd want in terms of just having off-ball gravity. So I'm kind of interested to see how that works when Oladipo comes back and the level Oladipo comes back at. But, you know, this team does have a ton of depth. They're huge, which you can get away with more in this post-Warriors NBA society.
Yeah, the league's going back to size. Girth is back in.
Yep, that's what I was going to say. Girth is back in. So, you know, the Turner-Savannis partnership isn't quite as awkward given that. I don't know. The East is wide open, but I will say, I think it's pretty universally agreed upon that the Bucks should have nutted up and just paid Brogdon. Because they just forced the city of Milwaukee to build them a new arena.
Yeah, even if it's an overpay. And
just do it.
Like, shout out to our guy, Ty. One of my favorite dudes out there. Check out the Eurostep. This is going to be proof that he doesn't listen to the podcast, but at least he still supports us. But you will pay him, even if it's an overpay, just to show to Giannis
that
you're willing to go out there and pay guys. And also because you know, and this is a shitty way to do business in general, but I do think once you get into the screwed up mindset of trying to keep a superstar player, I think you have to almost take into consideration what the conversation around a decision is going to be. Like, you know that it's going to be a talking point every single time you struggle this season, that the Bucks went the cheaper option. They didn't sign Brogdon. You know it's going to be on the jump. You know it's going to be on pregame, postgame. You know Giannis is going to be asked about it a million times. And that's going to put that seed of doubt into his head to some extent. And I'm so glad. Well, one of the reasons I'm glad we're out of the LeBron era is you don't have to have that mindset. You can focus on building teams the right way and making prudent decisions and things like that. And I think that's the direction we're on now. But the Bucks are still in this screwed up reality where you have to do whatever you can to keep Giannis. And I do think that it was a misstep. I don't think it's something they can't overcome, but I do think it is a misstep.
I know how they can overcome it, Justin.
You're going to say something that makes me sad, aren't you?
They should trade for Chris Paul. And I'm dead serious.
I still feel like he's ending up in Miami.
Why don't you trade for Chris Paul? If all it costs you is Eric Bledsoe, Ersan Ilyasova, and some filler.
Oh, boy.
Maybe one of the firsts you got back for Brogdon in the sign and trade.
Oh, boy.
Tell me I'm wrong. I'm fine to be – I'm okay. You can tell me. You can argue it, but I'm right on this. I'm pretty sure.
I don't think I'd argue with you.
First off, they would be better.
Yeesh. Yeah, they would. I'm just trying to think like a Giannis, Chris Paul pick and roll. That's something. I can see that. I I think the only thing is just durability, but I think you'd explore other options first.
You know what but, I want? I want not to have Eric Bledsoe be my starting point guard in a playoff run that will likely determine whether I can keep Giannis Antetokounmpo in Milwaukee.
Look at you. Carter is just on a one-man mission to make sure that I have to put explicit on every single podcast description.
No, you don't. There's no, there's no like system that's like scanning our podcast for profanity.
Listen, there's an honor system. And when I edit the podcast and I'm sitting there and I've come up with a little creative title, I put in the description, I sit there and I look at clean, unspecified, and explicit. And I think deep down in my heart, was there some cussing today? And every time it's with you, cussing. What's the deal, Carter? I mean, everyone in our Discord chat can testify and say that I never cuss. And I certainly don't do it on the podcast, and you're just on a one-man mission here.
As I'm my authentic self, you should try it. I want you to please double back to my take. and tell me I'm wrong. If you think
I agree with you. I'd explore other options first, but
what other options are there that are actually Giannis saving?
I'd try to give up more and get Drew.
You can't. It literally does not work. They don't have the picks to make it. I mean, I guess if you threw like three firsts at them.
Mm-hmm.
But
who knows? Maybe they like White Dante. You never know.
I think that you don't give up anything of value and get better and say, listen, we get it. We were wrong to not pay Brogdon, but we're addressing it in a big way by getting someone with huge name cachet to kind of right the wrong and put this team in. I think that makes them I think that puts them in front of Philly.
Yeah. No, I do. I agree. If he's healthy, and that's the biggest thing, because health throughout the course of a season.
They have George Hill to help spell him and give him as much load management as they need.
No, I agree. I agree. I think it's a smart move. I do feel like we have done a disservice to our listeners and to our viewers on Twitch and everyone that supported the podcast. I think we've kind of shit the bed here, Carter. And do you know why?
Because you just said the S word
on a podcast? Well, no, I mean...
That's so disrespectful.
In Canada, that isn't a cuss. Is there one story that we really should have touched on that we haven't yet? Think. My God.
The Warriors?
This is terrible audio. No, it's Dion Waiters overdosing
on an edible. Oh, man. Justin, we get it. You got too high at a Bombers game recently. We've all heard. You can relate.
Oh, listen, my man. God. You got the worst of that because I've like made the same comment in like three different forums because we were there. But yeah, I want to talk specifically about Dion. Not everything's about me, Carter.
Before we talk Dion, I do want to note that I've had the exact same problem with you where if I'm like in an argument or something online and I want to like get some like ammo or confirmation that I'm right, I'll throw it in the podcast Discord. Okay, there's one place Justin will see it. Then I might throw it in the Fear the Sword group chat on Google Hangouts. You're gonna see that. And then if I throw it in our group DM with Sam, Andy, and Damon, you'll see it there. And all of a sudden, I'm just completely inundating you with the same take over and over again.
Mm-hmm. At least for me, it's me trying to bring joy to the world and make people laugh. No, I just legitimately want your thoughts on Dion and edibles. It was funny because I was listening to Levitard show and they're like, it can't be just one. It can't be one.
No, and let me tell you, folks. There's something being missed here.
Let me tell you, folks, it can be one.
Justin.
There are edibles that are just so strong that it's absurd. And depending on your digestive.
What was the kind of edible that you ate? What was it, a gummy? Was it chocolate?
It was a gummy. It was a gummy, okay. Labeled 150 milligrams.
And you didn't really think that went through.
I didn't look at the label. I was just handed it. I was like, here, I'm going to be sober today at the game and just do an edible.
For good Christian boys, how much would your average edible have?
Well, I got a chart. So if you're a daily user, if you want to get a very high, strong high, you'd want about 15 to 20 milligrams.
There you go. You're an animal. I just wanted to make that very clear to everyone. Mm-hmm. It's a crazy story. And so I'm a little out of the loop on this. Did the seizure thing get disproved or did he have, what happened when he woke up?
I think it's being disputed because some are saying it's a panic attack, but then I think the team has backtracked on it because if it's a panic attack and they're suspending him for that.
Well, they're suspending him for the drug use.
Well, I mean, the whole thing is kind of being disputed, but I don't know. There's some hangups there. It's disputed whether or not it's one edible, what the deal is. I don't know necessarily if he had a seizure or if he just had a panic attack. It's not a position you want to be in. I'm also very curious because the length of these flights, I think they were flying from Phoenix to LA And that shit, no matter how strong it is, like, that takes a good 45 minutes to kick in, which is about the length of the flight. So he must
have... Our fresh-faced listeners are just taking very clear notes right now.
He must have, like, just went off. Like, it must have been a rocket to get to where he was at.
Or maybe he took it an hour before they took off. Or no, has that already been... Is that
I don't know. What I do love, is that he didn't snitch on which teammate gave it to him.
Hell yeah, brother.
And if I was in his shoes, I wouldn't want James Johnson to kill me either.
Oh, man. No, that guy's a real a natural born killer.
That dude has a black belt. You don't mess with that, man. Like, you don't mess with a black belt. And it's funny because I think a lot of people realize who it is because James Johnson was like doing IG Live from the flight and just looked very relaxed. I wonder if it was like a prank on Dion. It probably wasn't, but it'd be funny if it was a prank where someone's like, "Here, just here's some candy," and they just mixed in an edible, and that was the reason for the panic.
I think he would out them at that point, personally.
No, I don't. I think Dion has a very strict code, no matter how bad he looks. Like, this is not a good look for your guy there.
No, it's not. But we love him anyway.
Is this a good time to ask if you'd want Dion back? I think I know the answer.
No, of course not.
even for picks?
I mean, yeah. I mean, I'll take a pick and cut him.
Yeah, give him the JR treatment, or
yeah,
or just give him another edible to see how that goes.
Don't. This is a serious health crisis. You should be better.
I should be better, but I'm not. And that's what makes us, and that's why the people love us. But
the cat just busted in the closed door behind me.
Pardon me.
He's fucking haunting.
Okay. All I heard was something busted, and I was like, "Whoa, we've gone past the ad reads already, Carter."
Listen, Kylie's like 8 months pregnant. Nothing's busting around these parts.
Oh, you poor repressed fellow. Well, this seems like a good time to wrap things up. I want to thank all of our listeners. You guys have been really awesome. Support that we've had. The last podcast was so well received. A lot of people jumping on the bandwagon. I'm continued to be blown away by just how awesome Chaos fans are and the way that you guys have supported us. So thank you so much for that.
And if you really want to show your support for the Sex Line movement, we do have a t-shirt for you. And our boy, Kenan Lusher of the Ad Read Podcast, has put together a little bit of an ad read for us on our behalf. So we're going to clear out and allow that for that now.
Six colors.
Gold,
black,
white,
black,
navy,
maroon,
heather gray.
Two different styles.
Woman.
Man. Six sizes.
Mouse.
Bunny.
Bunny.
Kitty cat.
Dog.
Moose. Buy however many you want.
Some people like t-shirts. Are you one of those people? I know a shirt you can wear, and it's a t-shirt shirt. This shirt is for fans of Colin Sexton and Darius Garland. But that's two names.
Sexland.
Two names is one too many names to have on a t-shirt. Until now. Buy a Sexland t-shirt. It's clever because it turns two names into one name, but it's also clever because Sexland sounds like a land where people have
Colin Sexton, Darius Garland.
If you Google Sexland t-shirt, it's the third result. Or look for the pinned tweet on Twitter at ChaseDownPod. Or don't buy it. It's your choice. Sexland.
We're going to have more news coming this week on other ways that you can support us. We've got some new exciting announcements coming later in the week. So keep an eye out for that. Keep an eye on your feeds. If you want to support us now, you can do so by leaving a rating, review, subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, and help cook those books. If you want to watch our podcast live, you can do so on Twitch.tv/ChaseDownPod. You can also subscribe there as well if you feel generous, or if you have an Amazon Prime membership, you can give us that free subscription. Love that. And if you do leave a rating or a review for the podcast, you can send a screenshot of that to chasedownpod@gmail.com, and we will send you a link to our Discord chat. A lot of fun stuff going on there. Constant Cavs talk, game threads, trade speculation, all that good stuff. So you might want to check that out. So thanks again to all our listeners. Thank you, Carter. Until next time, go Cavs.